400-verse treatise, chapter 6, indicating methods for ridding yourself of disturbing emotions. Since pleasurable things cause desire to increase and painful things cause anger to expand, why are pleasurable things not included as ascetic practices, and why are painful things included as these practices? The activity of desire is to gather things, the activity of anger is to dispute, and the activity of naivety is like wind for all the elements, such as fire. It causes the other disturbing emotions to flare up. Not meeting with what you cherish, you have suffering due to desire. From not having the force to overcome enemies, you have suffering due to anger. From not fully understanding reality, you have naivety. Being overpowered by these three poisonous emotions, you don't comprehend those sufferings they cause you as suffering. Just as you see that people do not simultaneously meet with phlegm and bile, likewise you see that people do not simultaneously meet with desire and anger toward the same object. A spiritual mentor should use disciples with attachment as servants. Why? Because not to be deferential with them is a medicine for their attachment. But for those with anger, he should treat them as lords, because the medicine for their anger is showing them deference. First in the morning, there comes the total naivety of dullness. Intermediately during the daytime, there comes anger and annoyance with work. Lastly, at night, desire arises. Thus the day has these three stages. Although desire is not a friend, it appears like a friend. Therefore, shouldn't you fear it? Since it has no benefits, shouldn't people especially rid themselves of the seeming friend? Desire arises from causes, namely the habit of familiarity, and desire arises from circumstances, namely meeting with an object of desire. For the desire that arises from circumstances, it's easier to establish the opponents, but that's not the case with the other sort. When anger is firm, it definitely harms oneself and others. Destructive, it brings about great faults. By knowing the characteristics of all these types of disturbing emotions, you'll be able to bring such emotions to an end. Just as the cognitive power of the body pervades the whole body, naivety abides in all disturbing emotions. Therefore, by destroying naivety, all disturbing emotions will be destroyed. When it's the case that things come about by dependently arising, they cannot be truly existent. Seeing this, naivety will not arise. Therefore, you should make all efforts in this, since only this topic shall be related in this text. The characteristics of always liking to dance and so on, giving and receiving presents, and keeping fastidiously clean and the like, appear in people having desire. The Buddhas have said that those with desire should in all ways give up having excellent good food, clothing, and shelter, and should always abide in the vicinity of their spiritual mentors. To become angry with someone you have no ability to affect only makes your face ugly, and not to have love for someone you have the ability to help, this is said to be vile. Unpleasant sounds of abuse are said to put an end to your previously built-up negative karmic debts. It's only those bewildered by nature about cause and effect, and who aren't upright, who do not accept them as a purification. And even unpleasant words of abuse that you hear, by their essential nature, do you no harm. Therefore, as the harm comes from your own prejudiced thoughts, it's the vain who think that it comes from others. Just as it says in worldly texts that you should punish someone who abuses you, likewise, then why shouldn't you reward the same person if he says something pleasant to you? Even if no one has spoken of your rebuke-worthy faults, they are obvious to everyone. Therefore, if others should come to know of them, it's improper to become angry with the one who's spoken of them. As this is the case, is there need to mention not becoming angry with those who speak accusing you falsely? After all, unpleasant words of abuse from your inferiors do not give rise to anything serious. Therefore, treat unpleasant words from inferiors as something petty and insignificant coming from a child to someone above him. Since retaliating has not even the slightest benefit in reversing harm already done by others, it's only an extension of my self-clinging to show you respect, O mind, who becomes angry for no benefit. If with patience you can attain great positive force without effort, then who would be foolish enough to prevent this by becoming angry? You especially don't generate so-called anger toward those more powerful than yourself. So how could you possibly be respected for your anger directed at smashing those who are weaker? patience toward an object for anger gives rise to meditation on love for him. If you think to discard this basis for all good qualities because of fearing the opinion of others, you're but a fool. Who can put an end to being slighted, even if you go to your next life? Therefore, since if you retaliate, you build up negative karmic debts for yourself, you should think that being patient with abuse is better. In short, any yogi having the understanding that in actuality consciousness is devoid of a truly existing abiding and so on, will have no place in his intelligent mind for disturbing emotions to reside.